So you think the ghosts have gone away?
Oh, no. They're still here.
Annie Wilder joins us in a moment. We'll talk about her latest work, House of Spirits and Whisperers. And also, she's got another one out there called Spirits Out of Time. Back in a moment with Annie on Coast to Coast AM. Author Annie Wilder was raised with strong intuitive abilities. Her everyday life always includes lost souls, angel spirits. Annie hosts haunted tea parties in her spirit-filled home in Minnesota. She's been featured in several television and print news stories as well. She's got the ability to tune in with the spirit world. She's been doing that all her life, currently teaching ghost classes in her haunted home. Here she is back on Coast to Coast. Annie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me back.
Me too. And it's so true. Even though Halloween has come and gone, the ghosts linger on, don't they?
They certainly do.
Tell me what's been new with you.
Well, as far as ghost stuff, the past year has been pretty busy working on another book, Trucker Ghost Stories. Excuse me, Trucker mm-hmm. Ghost Stories. And that is a collection of true experiences that truckers, primarily truckers, but people associated with the trucking industry and other drivers out on the road at night have experienced, things they've encountered. So that's been a lot of fun. And I just started offering ghost classes this year. I offered haunted tea parties because so many people wanted to come and see my house after reading the books. And the tea parties have a sort of a feminine sensibility. And the ghost classes are more just down and dirty facts about ghosts, weird things, their habits, peculiarities, and what I've learned after living with ghosts for 17 years.
What do people want to know the most about ghosts, Annie?
One of the questions I get asked most often is, can ghosts hurt you? And I used to think that overall, ghosts cannot really hurt you. The way that they can hurt you the most is by taking your energy.
Right.
But I have heard enough stories from people, true experiences, and I've also had many psychics and paranormal investigators come through my house. And I've read books by Michelle Bellanger. I'm a big fan of hers. And I think that there are cases in which ghosts can actually hurt you, but I think they're pretty rare, actually.
Well, you know, a lot of people, too, I think, confuse ghosts for demons, don't they? Demons, I think, can hurt you. I think that's their sole intent, to go after you and destroy your life, destroy your soul and everything else. But I see them as different from ghosts. Do you?
I do, too. Yes, that's a good distinction. And I'm knocking on wood now. I've never encountered anything that bad, and I hope I never do. That would actually terrify me.
You know, we have a lot of truck drivers that listen to this program. Let's spend some time, Annie, while we've got you here, to talk about some of these trucker ghost stories and these experiences. What did you find out?
Well, a couple of things that were interesting. Part of the book is a collection of legends and lore.
Okay.
On the road. And The Vanishing Hitchhiker is one of the most enduring legends. I mean, it's everywhere. There's so many versions of it, and it's freaky and weird and spooky.
So.
There's a story out from Colorado in the San Luis Mountains, or it might be San Luis. But that there was a book written by Christopher O'Brien. And he may have been on your show before, I'm not sure, but he's sort of a UFO guy. And one of the stories that he heard from a sheriff out there is that the sheriff's uncle was driving through the mountains at night, and this is a big UFO hotspot,
okay.
Where the UFO watchtower is, and he saw a woman in red hitchhiking. So he offered her a ride. It was the middle of the night, and she got into his pickup truck.
Most guys probably would. A woman in red at night. Hey, come on in.
Pretty hard to resist. And she got in the truck. She stared straight ahead. She didn't say a word. And he was going to ask her what she was doing out you know, at such a weird hour of the night all by herself. And he looked over and he noticed that she had goat's legs and cloak.
Oh, see, that's when I would say, I should not have stopped.
Like Pee-wee in the movie, I get off right here.
Oh, my gosh. What was she or it?
Well, it. And then she dematerialized. And this was a sheriff's uncle. He insisted on making a police report, even though his family tried to discourage him from doing so because, you know, of his, they didn't want his reputation to be, you know, messed up and stuff like that. But Christopher O'Brien's theory on it is that there are lots of tales in that area of Old Scratch, the devil, walking around, making an appearance, you know, showing up in bars, weird things like that. So that was one of the legends.
The devil was dressed like a woman. Is that possible?
The devil wears Prada.
That's right.
I think that there could be a female manifestation.
That was his way of trying to trick the truck driver.
Right.
Or the police officer. Yeah.
So, and then there's another legend from down south. I think it was in Missouri, but I'd have to double check. That was what the legend is, Quantum Hitchhiker, because it's an old man dressed sort of like Humphrey Bogart, you know, kind of hat and trench coat, walking along the road. And if people stop and pick him up, he either disappears from their car or at the next, you know, he wants to get out. He tries to get out while you're going down the highway. So you pull over and let him out, speed off into the night. And, you know, 5 or 10 miles later.
There he is again. Sounds like a Twilight Zone.
Well, yeah.
I think it was called Going My Way.
Oh, I love the Twilight Zone. I don't remember that particular episode, but yeah.
Speaking of that, Billy Mumy's our guest tomorrow, first hour. He was in the Twilight Zone. He was the little kid who wished people into the cornfield. Remember that one?
Oh,
yeah. And he said, you're a bad, bad man.
I'll have to stay up again.
Good guy. He's a great musician, too. He was also in Lost in Space. He was Will Robinson.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Remember that?
Watched that show. Yep. In the 60s.
Anyways, back to these truck driver ghost stories and things like that. So these hitchhiking episodes, I mean, does anybody try to get hurt? Does anybody get hurt from these hitchhiker ghosts?
No. And actually, one of the most common experiences that the truckers have is being helped by a spirit. I shouldn't say one of the most common, but when they see a ghost or a spirit, and in some cases, phantom trucks, not 309, but phantom trucks helping out, they are there to wake the trucker up if they're dozing off or guide them through a dangerous...
Well, are they ghosts or are they angelic?
Well...
Woo.
Ghost.
My ear.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
What happened?
I bet you have the phone next to your cheek, don't you? And you hit it with your head or your ear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On your touch tone. Yeah. That's okay.
Okay.
But just don't ever do that again.
I'm actually holding it sort of away from my face, but let me know. I hope the ghosts don't start messing with the phone.
You never know. It depends if you treat them nicely or not.
In this house, they get treated with respect as long as they're respectful ghosts. Bad guys get shown the door.
In a minute, I want you to tell us about this haunted house you live in, too.
Okay, that's great. Well,
but nobody's been hurt by these hitchhiking ghosts, to your knowledge.
No, and actually, I put most of those stories in the legends and lore because real truckers, just like the black dog legend of a black dog, you know, appearing right before a trucker is going to have an accident or warning him of an accident. I didn't find any one instance only, I should say, of somebody having that experience. Most truckers on the forums said that they never heard of, they heard of the movie Black Dog.
Right.
Which I liked because I like Randy Travis and Patrick Swayze, but it's not a real experience that people are talking about. More often, they see, in one case, a trucker. I love this story. It's called Text Message. These are true experiences. A trucker was driving from Oklahoma to Texas. And he said he was pushing hard. He was really tired, but he had to get his load to where it needed to be by a certain time. And all of a sudden, his dad appeared in the passenger seat. And his dad had died in a rollover accident years
before. Yeah, see, I could see that happening.
Yeah, and his dad said, there's a rest stop right over the Texas border. And this trucker said, it will be full, and I don't have time. And he said the next thing he knew, he was at the truck stop, parked right, and, you know, he doesn't have any recollection of getting there. And there was a message on his phone, a text message, that said, no load is worth your life. Love, Dad.
Wow.
Yeah, and he ended his story with, I swear this to be true. So it was so much fun gathering these stories. Let's see.
You know, you could do the same with police officers, as, you know, you mentioned that one case of the hitchhiker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're just everybody out there, or nurses and doctors. I mean, every kind of career, I think, has that possibility of seeing a ghost. Security guards, for
example. Yeah, actually, there's a security guard at a trucking firm that put some stories in this book, too. There's a lot of stories of collisions with the past. Like,
explain that.
Well, there was a trucker, and I love it because the different women and men who wrote stories for the book all use their own, you know, some people wrote longer stories that have more emotion and more description, and other people wrote shorter accounts of truly chilling events, but just like factual, you know, very, here's what happened, no matter how weird it is, you know, just sort of laid it out, all the facts in a line. And this fellow had three very short, weird incidences. And the one that I'm talking about was collisions with the past. He was driving his truck out by the Little Bighorn. And he said it was an unusual time. He usually drove team with his dad, but his dad was out recovering from a heart attack. So he's in the truck alone. And he said he's driving. He hears a voice from inside his truck say, can you help me? He said he's driving 68 miles an hour down a highway in the middle of the night alone. He looks over because, you know, this voice is coming from inside his truck. And let's see, how did he say that? There in buckskins sat Custer. And he said, plain as day.
George Custer.
And Custer said to him, I need reinforcements. And then he disappeared. And that just rang true to me because if either the ghost of George Custer or the energetic imprint of Custer is still in that vicinity, wouldn't that be exactly what he would be looking for? You know, it just rang true. It gave me
that was Custer's problem. He went to the wrong people all the time.
You know? Yeah, totally.
Well, that's you know, these stories are everywhere as well. And do you find some of the truck drivers get scared? Was anybody petrified when they sent something into you?
You know, a few people did own up to being pretty terrified in their stories, but a lot of people didn't linger or dwell on that. And actually, I had a really hard time getting these stories, getting truckers to give them up. And I'm very appreciative for all the stories I got. It's sort of like a
Well, we'll open up the phone lines later with truck drivers, and we'll let them call in too and see what kind of stories they might be able to give us again.
That would be so cool.
You know, they are everywhere. Tell me about this house you live in. What's going on there?
Okay, well, 17 years ago, my kids and I moved into a house in Hastings, Minnesota. The house was built in the 1870s or 1880s.
And how far is Hastings from Minneapolis? I spent a year in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Oh, okay. About 25 miles.
Okay.
We're right on the Mississippi River.
Oh, all right.
It's an old historic town. And we bought this house. I had looked at probably 50 or 60 houses in the preceding year and a half, and mostly old houses, and there was only one other house that I thought was haunted. We did know when we bought the house that there was a ghost in it. We're pretty sure. A ghost. And we figured it was the spirit of the old man who'd lived here before us, because the house was originally a single-family home, and then it had been turned into an upper-lower duplex in the 1930s when economic times got tough. And then it was turned into a triplex in the 1960s, and he lived in the back apartment, and he had died the year before. And it was his part of the house. It was the back apartment that felt very haunted, like there's somebody right behind you and somebody watching you. And his energy felt gloomy and heavy, but not evil or anything like that.
Okay.
And I thought, well, this is such a cool house. I can deal with gloomy, heavy energy. And I figured he wouldn't be around
forever. Did they disclose this to you when you were looking at it?
No, they didn't.
No.
And I don't know if the laws required people to.
It depends on what town you're in and what city. I mean, some cities like Philadelphia, you have to disclose that.
I think that they should, because a lot of people are pretty uncomfortable.
Which to me is a legal admission by a government of the existence of the other side.
I think that's great. I think the more that we acknowledge it, the more we'll learn and the more comfortable we'll be. And actually, it's a big source of comfort in a lot of ways, because most of us have lost someone that we loved. It's nice to know that there can be some communication between our world and the spirit world, or some interaction. So we bought the house knowing that there was a ghost. But what we didn't know is that it's filled with ghosts. And
like they were having a party there?
Like there's this house is energetically weird. It's energetically unusual, and I don't think that there are lots and lots of ghosts here at every minute of every day. It's just a house that has portals. It's got doorways for between the physical world and the
spirit. It's like a Ouija board.
Yeah. It's like a
house that's a Ouija board.
Yeah. Yep. And actually, one thing that's been interesting, I've had a bunch of different psychics come through, many before I had written any books, so I didn't have any written account of where we thought, what we thought was going on. But different psychics separately have, you know, kept naming the same spots as the portal spots in the house. And that's why we have lots of weird experiences here. And one of the things that's fun is that even people who don't believe in ghosts have weird experiences here. So I never try to convince anyone, because I think people should believe whatever they want to believe. I think it's entirely up to them. But if people come here and spend time here and don't believe in ghosts and have a ghost experience, I usually... It's sort of fun.
All right, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more with you, Annie, about all these different kinds of ghosts, and also how to get rid of bad energy in a house. I think that's very important as well, too. I'm George Norrie. We will be back in a moment worldwide tonight, every night, on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, next hour, we'll take your stories, your calls with Annie Wildler as we talk about these ghosts. When we come back, we'll get more into the haunted house that she lives in. On Coast to Coast AM. Annie, back to your haunted house of Hastings, Minnesota.
Okay.
So what else is in there?
Well, over the years, we have seen just a variety of spirits and entities, everything from...
And when you say you see them, you physically can see them? Or do you see things happening, like, you know, coffee mugs moving across the table or something like that?
Both. Both. I usually start by telling about the things that we've physically seen.
Okay.
People like that because it's dramatic. But we saw the old man spirit who used to live here, and he looked like a human being. He looked heavy. You know, he walked like he was sort of in pain, sort of stooped over a little bit.
Does he look solid, or does he look
he
looked smoke?
Yeah, he looks solid.
Okay.
No, he looked solid. He had only been a spirit for about 6 or 8 months. When we saw him. And I've actually heard from some people who are more skilled with psychic abilities than I am, that usually if a spirit has not yet crossed over, and I think in his case he might not have because he had hidden something in the house that he wanted his family to have, and we found it and gave it to his family. But the psychic said if a spirit has not yet realized that they can come and go, you will see them as they appeared at their death, the age that they were and, you know, the physical condition. But once they've learned that they can come and go, they can appear in any way they want. Like, they can appear at their peak, you know, physical vitality or things like that.
Who decides that? Do they do that? Their spirit do that? Or is, you know, there's some ghost person up there going, this is what you're going to be, I'm sending you back?
I think as far as visiting, as far as coming and going, I think that spirits can come and go. I think they can.
At will.
Once they realize it, Yeah, because I've actually seen family spirits in my house, too, and, you know, spirits that of people who died long before I lived in this house. So, and I believe that many people in this culture believe that we have a spirit that survives us after our physical body dies. So if you believe that, to me, believing that it can travel around is actually not that big a deal compared to just accepting the belief that we have a part of us that lives on. So we have seen a spirit that looks, you know, like a human being, more than one. We've seen spirits that look like traditional ghosts. In other words, they are sort of transparent, all white, and floating in the air. There were two black blobs that I saw that seemed to have awareness. Both times I saw this thing, it was about 5 feet tall, a very dark, dark shadow. And the first time was just the day when I came home from work. I was, you know, not thinking about ghosts. I tell people, you know, they hear my ghost stories and stuff, but I also, you know, cut the grass, pay taxes, do laundry. It's all normal stuff in my house.
You're human. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. It's not always freaky-deaky. So I was at the stove making soup, and out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw something, and I turned, and I saw this black, dark black blob in the doorway between the dining room and the living room. And I just was sort of shocked because I didn't expect to really see anything. And it like made a beeline for the front hallway. It like ran from one doorway through another doorway and out of my line of sight. And I was freaked out enough by it that I picked up the phone and called my boyfriend at the time and said, you know, can you stay on the phone with me? I have to go check this out. But
so you were scared.
I was scared. I was scared, startled and scared because it was just a black blob, but it looked like it had awareness, you know, like it became aware that I could see it and it ditched the room. So that was pretty weird. But we have also seen, and other guests have seen this too, balls of light that are probably 12 to 15 inches in diameter. That sort of appear to be bobbing.
Like orbs?
Well, not the kind of orbs that you see in photographs. These are literally more like a ball of light, and they're big, and you can see them. You know, they don't just show up in pictures. You actually see them. And the main characteristics of them, besides the fact that they are light, you know, that they are literally a color, a light color, they look like they're lit up, is the bobbing behavior. It's very, it makes them seem not just static, not just like a static image, but like there's something dynamic about them. And actually, two of the balls of light that I saw in my doorway one night, I felt that they were the spirit energy of someone. And again, like if a spirit decides to appear or if a spirit shows up and they look like they did in the 1800s, you know, if they can somehow affect either our perception or their own appearance so that they're perceived that way, why could they not decide to appear as a ball of light?
If somebody has bad energy in their house, Andy, how can they get rid of it?
There are a lot of ways to get rid of bad energy. The starting point is to just be aware of yourself, each of us, as an energy steward. Like, we are responsible for our own personal energy. We are responsible for the energy of our dwelling, and like, we're responsible for the energy of our workspace. And then it's whatever people are comfortable with as far as keeping energy positive at an energetic level, a spirit world level. You can use prayer, you can use sage, you can use sea salt. You can, you know, open the windows and let fresh air come through. I believe that it's really important to have a physical world counterpart, like keeping yourself, your body, keeping positive energy going through your body by taking good care of it, you know, exercising in some way that you enjoy and eating some decent food and, you know, vitamins. And with your house, like keeping your house clean, and basically in order, taking care of things that come up, everything from bills to laundry to your yard. Just, you know, taking care of things is a way to keep energy positive. So I actually do Reiki, which is...
Yeah, well, that's important.
Yeah. And Reiki is like healing prayer energy for people who aren't familiar with it. But I start each day with Reiki prayers, and I think it's a good way to start the day.
Why do you stay in the house?
I actually love my house. I love my house. I think...
You're not bothered by all these ghosts and spirits that keep hovering around?
I have had some bad experiences in the house, but overall it's been a really positive experience living here. It's interesting, and I almost feel like if I lived in a house that wasn't haunted after living here, it would seem really empty and kind of barren. I like this. I feel very comfortable here, and I think that if somebody had come to the house with this house is energetically weird, as I said. So somebody could have come in if they were either afraid or if they were sort of into dark activities as far as the spirit world. This house's energy could be either threatening to someone if they're afraid, or it could be used in a way that like made the house more negative and made it more powerful in a bad way. I feel like this house has been an opportunity for me to learn things and for me to share what I've learned with other people. And it just feels like I love this house. I love it so much that Linda Drake, who was a psychic who came here, said that a lot of the spirits who come and visit the house, who come and go, were people who lived here, and they keep coming because they loved it so much. It's a very energetically cool house.
Oh, good for you. So you're not going to be pulled out of that place, are you?
Mm-mm. Nope. I'm here.
Are people considered foolish, you know, throwing sage around their house and stuff like that?
Probably by some people, but I never let what other people think stop me from living my life. But sage actually has a long history, you know, especially in like Native American traditions, of being an energetic, a powerful cleansing agent. And if people are aware of like Bach flower remedies or homeopathy or magical correspondences of plants and flowers, I think that, to me, it makes a lot of sense that different things from nature have a different purpose. And I actually grow sage in my yard, and I also grow lamb's ear.
Just make sure they know it's sage and not pot or anything.
Yeah, true. That is true. Yeah. Well, I guess you can just wave sage around without lighting it as well. So
our producer, Tom Danheiser, was carrying around a bag of mugwort that one of our guests sent him to try out. And this is, you put it in a pillow, and you're supposed to get incredible dreams and recollection of all these things. But,
did
you know, he's carrying the, no, he hasn't done it yet. He's pawning it off on me. And, but he was carrying it around, and you look at it first of all, and you go, Tom, what the heck do you have here? You know, because
in that little bag,
in that little tiny plastic bag. Yeah, absolutely. What has been the weirdest, or should I say the strangest paranormal experience you've ever had?
Well, the strangest astral experience that I ever had actually happened in a different house. And it took me about 20 years to discover that there are some descriptions of what I experienced that the theosophists came up with. I mean, they were around in the 1800s. I actually didn't learn this stuff, though, until probably 5 or 10 years ago. This experience was, it had many elements that didn't make any sense to me at the time. It was in the early 80s. I lived in Hudson, Wisconsin. I was married. And I was, my husband and I were in bed. I was just dozing off. And I, all of a sudden, my body went on high alert, like there's danger around. Excuse me. And I was trying to listen, like, what's going on? What am I tuning into? And all of a sudden, it seemed like the walls of our bedroom just melted away. Like, I could suddenly see out into our backyard. And another thing about this that was weird, in real life it was summer, but what I was seeing was a winter scene. And I saw a man standing in our backyard, and he had a gun, a long gun.
Well, that's not a good feeling.
No, and I was, you know, struggling to figure out, like, what is this? What's happening? And then the man lifted up the gun and shot me in the back. Okay. And I felt the shot, like, I felt the doom. And I could see this scene from multiple perspectives. I could see the man in the backyard. I could see my husband and I lying in bed. And I could see, and this has never actually happened since this time, but I could see the where the bullet had entered my back and nicked my spine. I could see bone fragments, and I could see the bullet lodged in muscle. And I thought, you know, I knew that somebody couldn't shoot you in the back when you're actually lying in bed. They'd have to be in the basement to shoot you in the back. But yet, that's what it felt like, and I thought, you know, am I dying? Because this is so weird. Like, I can see everything, and I can feel everything, and I can see inside my own body. And then I'm like, I felt really sad because I thought I was dying. And then I laid there for a few more minutes. It's like, okay,
you realize it's not happening, right?
It's not happening. And then the walls, like, came back up. I wiggled my toes because I'm like, am I paralyzed, you know? And I could wiggle my toes, and I was so relieved. I started to cry. And then I got up. I went and looked out the window like, it's summer, right? Like, that is what's going on, right? And so I, you know, it was just a super weird, weird, weird experience. Well, years later, I was reading a book by Peter Tompkins. And mm-hmm. He is one of the guys who wrote The Secret Life of Plants.
That's
and
right.
I love that book. And he also wrote a book called
The Secret. With Clive Baxter, right?
Yeah, yeah. He also wrote a book, and I'm not sure if there was a co-author on this book, called The Secret Life of Nature. And that book was some of the material that he was going to include in The Secret Life of Plants, but his publisher said, that's too weird. Your book is weird enough. It's, like, too weird. So it actually came out later, and I'm not sure if it was the same publisher or not. Probably was, since the first one did so well. But he talked about these different forms of astral vision that the theosophists had described and documented. And one is called they use this sort of quaint, clunky term, witheneth, and it's astral vision in which you can see all four sides of a thing at once. It's like if you took anything and flattened it out the way they used to do with those maps of the world in the 70s. Remember how
they just lay it right out? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what astral vision is. You can see all four sides of a thing, and like you're looking into it at once. And so that sort of describes the being able to see all these aspects of the scene. And the walls melting away, they have a term for being able to see through opaque objects or solid objects, and that is etheric vision. And that is seeing, they call it through with, meaning you can see through solid objects. So one thing that I think is a strength of mine is that I describe what happens to me, even if I don't have some scientific or you know, respected tradition to rely on to describe it. I just describe it and then try to figure out what it is. So that was probably my freaky introduction into the astral world.
Do you have any special equipment or anything like that?
I'm terrible with tech stuff. Totally terrible. The people who have recorded like EVPs and stuff in my home or ghost pictures, a group was here last year and they caught an image of a ghost in this huge dressing table mirror that's right outside my bedroom. That's actually on my website if people want to check it out. But all I have is this group of seventh grade paranormal investigators who came through with their mom and dad, super great guys, gave me a gift of a motion detector. And I thought that was really cool because there have been many groups through here, all super nice people, investigation groups. And these boys were the first ones to come up with the idea of, I have a door that is haunted and we have a spotlight on it. And the spotlight is going off and on is one of the ways that the ghosts associated with the doors communicate. And these boys put the motion detector near the door. And then we all left the room and they were filming. Well, I think their dad was filming, but we all watched. When the light would go off and come back on.
You knew you had something.
Yeah, and they had, but the motion detector actually went off every time. So there was, nobody was in the room, but they proved or they achieved the result of showing that there was a correlation between this motion detector going off and the light going off, Ron.
Annie, that was pretty cool. It is cool. We're going to come back. We're going to take phone calls with you. We're going to take special phone calls from anyone who calls, plus truck drivers on your ghostly stories. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.